Blog Talk Radio.
So this is the one you like? You like this one?
Oh, I like Tubular Bells.
All right. Let's listen. Some people think it's scary. You think it's scary? So we start. Good evening. This is American Conservative Party Radio, our weekly talk about conservative things. My name is Tracy.
And I'm Bill.
And we're going to bring the dark souls onto the radio show. That was what I was called last week. I was called a dark soul last week. Isn't that cool?
Were you really?
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Cool.
Yeah, I like that. Dark soul.
Right. Dark soul. We could make a TV series out of that.
Well, I just thought it was kind of interesting that somebody thinks that I actually have one.
Yeah. That's right. You're one of them agnostic folks. Okay.
You know, I was a dark soul. Why was I a dark soul? I was a dark soul. Oh, yeah, because I said that if somebody wanted to call me racist, they could call me racist. I didn't care.
So what's the problem with that?
I don't know. Apparently, I need to drink less bad things and eat more healthy food.
I see. Okay.
Don't know how those two got related.
Gobble down them sprouts.
Don't know how those two got related.
Okay.
No, but... You know, that's what it was. It was a long, drawn-out thing. Eventually, he went off on his merry way, you know.
Oh, good.
And then, yeah. Last night, some 21-year-old told me that I was a conservative ranter that didn't know anything about the country. And I'm sitting there like going, you're 12. I mean, sorry, you're 21.
Yeah.
Exactly how much do you think you know about the country, Mr. Student Body President?
Jeez. Oh, Lord. I mean... I have to tell you, I remember when I was 21 and I knew it all. I mean, yes, I did.
I
then
was
you get
21
older
and
you,
I did
and
know
you
it all.
Understand that you don't.
No, I'm 21. There is nothing new. There is nothing new today, okay?
Yep.
As far as fundamental principles are concerned.
That's exactly right.
There is nothing new today in my life, in my thinking, that I didn't know and understand them.
Actually, you can go further back than that. There is
no, because I voted for Carter. You got to understand, my principles had to be pretty whacked out when I was 18.
Well, yeah, they did. But if you talk about fundamental truths and people and how people react and the issues that they react to, you can go all the way back to Cicero and before, and you get the same exact things being talked about.
Yeah, you think we'd finally get it, right?
You'd think. You know, slow learners. I'm sorry. It's a really low learning curve here.
Every new generation, we have to relearn what we've been taught. Hey, yeah. Barack Obama, you're half a generation off.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say. You're half a generation off.
There you go.
You know, baby boomers, you know, we're done. We're finishing up, you know, cleaning up our desks. We're getting ready to, you know... Obama's just a
shuffle
little bit
off.
A little bit off, you know. And I basically, here's the thing. Does Barack Obama have a clue?
Really? My personal opinion, no.
Okay.
I could
agree.
Be wrong. I'm willing to admit if I could be wrong, you know.
A liberal told me over the weekend that there are some liberals that believe that he has gone much further left than anybody expected.
Hmm.
Now,
really?
I was polite. I said, well, I appreciate the fact that you've noticed that.
Yeah,
but for
right.
most of us that actually paid attention, he's not any farther left than we expected him to go.
Exactly. All you have to do, read his books, read his speeches, read what he said on the Illinois Senate floor, read
Pay
what
attention
he...
to his friends.
Yeah, you know, I'm the guy, this is no conspiracy, folks. He told you exactly what he was going to do.
And he's doing it. People
yes,
say, well,
he
you know, he's got to govern from the middle. No.
Yeah, right, sure, okay, fine.
Well, they, you know, the person said, well, this is purely a power trip. And I'm like, okay, he's a politician. The man has an
yeah.
ego like a rock, you know,
yeah.
that God
yeah.
can't lift.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's the nature of the beast. And, you know, it is true. It's an absolute ego trip. But here's the question that I keep asking, okay? We are all, I'm certain that you and I are in agreement that this is, in fact, an ego trip for Barack Obama. I won. I'm in charge.
Yep.
I'm the president of the United... Okay, here's the
yep.
question I have. Is whose ego is writing these checks? Because, see, I'm not 100% convinced that it's Barack. Because, and this is going to get me in a whole lot of trouble, but I've decided that trouble is okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Michelle is a black woman with attitude.
Yeah, she is.
Serious, pissed off attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I got to wonder exactly how much Barack Obama has been whipped. Frankly.
Hmm.
Personally.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder. So, you know, who's driving that show? Speaking of husband and wives driving the shows, did you see the videotape of Hillary Clinton on Monday?
I did not see the video, but I have heard it described. Oh, my God.
Man, did she just get... if you had a look at her body language, it was like, you talking to me? You talking
yeah,
to
right.
me? You know, and it's sitting back and the arms coming out. It's like, you know, and then leaning forward, putting those arms up. You talking to me? Oh, man, she was
yeah.
pissed. Angry. Oh, white woman. Oh, my God.
And that is your Secretary of State, folks. Highly
yeah, I mean,
skilled
you know,
in the art of diplomacy.
Yeah, no cowboys here.
No
story. Oh, white woman. My God.
Jesus.
You know, what's her name? What was the old battle axe for, you know, Clinton? Who was Clinton? What was her name? Why is it blanking on me? You know?
What
was Clinton's Secretary of State? Madeleine Albright.
Oh, Madeleine Albright, yeah.
Madeleine Albright has got to be turning in her. She's not in the grave. She's got to be turning
yep.
in her. So far, in her
yep, yeah, wherever she is.
Oh my God, who taught her anything?
And the really ironic thing about all of that is,
yeah.
it was a mistranslation.
Oh yeah, it was. Clearly.
That's what she was responding to was
clearly
somebody. You know, the translation she got was, "What did Bill Clinton think about whatever the thing was?" And the actual words were, "What does President Obama think about it?" Now,
right.
I don't know how somebody screws up that in terms of a translation, but.
But she should have caught that. She should have been saying, "Do you mean President Obama?" You know, and of course, somebody said, "Well, yes, of course." Well, that would have been, "Oh, well, I, you know, this is his point." No. This is a woman with a chip on her shoulder that makes Barack Obama can't lift.
And
look,
you know what? I totally insecure if that's the way she comes across.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, way over her head.
Now,
yep.
is you know, the more stuff like this happens, the more I'm sitting like going, you know. I used to think that the bureaucracy in Washington was this behemoth that, you know, had everything under control and the politicians were just kind of skimming along the surface. Let me suggest that currently the bureaucracy that's going on in the State Department and in the White House and Congress suggests that there are a whole bunch of morons.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
I mean, half of this stuff, and they're double downing on this stuff.
You
know, so the White House with this idea, okay, I want you to tell anybody that's kind of talking to you funny, you know, tell us about it. We want to know about it. Here we go, okay, stupid staffer, that's not really where we meant. No, Barack Obama's going, hey, yeah, that's a good idea. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
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 Actually, you know,
home?
I self-reported.
I didn't.
I put my name in there, said, hey, this is a fishy guy.
And I got a feeling that if I get a notice for jury duty sometime soon,
yeah,
that's it. That's what it was.
Yeah.
I swear it had to be. If I get a jury duty thing, yep. We got a caller from area code 214. Where is area code 214? Caller, where are you from? Hello. You're calling. You're talking.
Hey caller.
Are you there? Area code 214. Where's area code 214? Quick, look it up.
I'm.
Do you have a computer on by any small chance?
Yeah, I use my own computer.
What? What? Person. Who's 214? Say hello.
Hello.
There you go. We got someone that said hello.
Cool.
Hi, this is Tracy. Who are you? And what would you like
to
do?
Is that me? I never hit one. I'm just sitting here.
You just want to listen. Okay, you can listen.
Well, I was listening, but I don't know. I'll be happy to talk real quick. What do you think about this this staged event today?
Oh, the New Hampshire Town Hall?
Yeah.
The Barack Obama one or the Arlen Specter one?
The Obama one.
Didn't get a chance to see it. I was out buying a computer. I was out stimulating the economy. I would suggest, my own personal opinion was that it was or AstroTurf. Grassroots. staged. Yeah. Nothing he does is not staged. Bill, did you get a chance to see any of it?
Actually, I didn't see any of the video, and I did not turn on the television set today. However, have conversed with some people that did see it, have also clicked through on some links that purport to tell how the tickets were arrived at. And apparently, greenhouses have fewer plants than the New Hampshire Town Hall did. I regret to inform everybody in our listening audience that I did not receive my invitation to go to any website to get a ticket for that event.
The caller, you're from Dallas, Texas. What's your name? What's your first name?
Sean.
Sean. Did you get a chance to watch some of it, Sean?
I listened to the entire thing on POTUS Sirius through my iPhone while I was at work.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Give us an idea.
And I tell you what, it was there were so many softballs. It was horrible. It was frustrating more than anything. It was so frustrating to listen to everybody throw him softballs and to him do the same thing he does, the sarcasm, the blaming of Bush, the blaming of everything. If I went into my boss and I said, you know what, the software's broken because the previous developer broke it and it's all his it's all his fault and somebody else got to fix it. You know, I'm just trying to fix it, but it's not my fault, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get anywhere in the world.
That's a great analogy there, John. That's great.
Well,
so anyway, it was frustrating.
I did get a chance to see four questions posed to Arlen Specter, and I really liked the guy, I think it was like the fifth or sixth one, who said, hi, I'm a Republican, and I sent you to Congress, and now you're not. And then he went on with his question and was like, you know, hello, you little turncoat little prick.
Yeah.
But, you know, Specter was you know, he basically said the same thing that everyone else is saying. Yeah, you know, you guys are just full of shit, and we're going to do what's right.
Oh, man.
That was basically what he said for most of his questions.
And
people
were
respectful, but people were yelling.
That is all of a piece with Claire McCaskill in her town hall either yesterday or today, and I don't remember which day it was, and asked her audience. Now, everybody ought to know, the first rule is never ask a question that you don't want the answer to. Claire McCaskill asked the question of her audience, don't you trust me?
Yeah.
And the absolute automatic response with wild standing applause was, no, we don't. Jesus. Excuse me.
Yeah, that's the old the lawyer's adage. Never ask a question you don't know what the answer is to.
Exactly.
You know, and yeah. Come on.
I got one more statement on this deal.
Okay, cool.
And then I'll let you go because my wife probably wants me to go back and watch Warehouse 13.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hulu, watch it on Hulu. I watched it all on Sunday.
Yeah, we're sci-fi fanatics around here.
Okay,
all right.
I like that.
whenever most of these liberals are talking, or just Democrats or politicians in general, why do they think we're so stupid that we can't take the direct answer? Why do they beat around the bush and not answer the question? They never do answer the question. They just beat around the bush. Obama's the king of this.
Oh, yeah.
And I've heard it from almost every politician out there, except for a handful. I like I like Rick Perry. I mean, I like some other politicians, but especially Obama. He'll take a direct question and tell us how. I've said 12 times that, and he won't even answer the question. And he leaves you so dumbfounded that you don't know what the hell he just said.
Exactly.
And people eat it up. And
yep.
it drives me up the wall that we're supposed to be some redneck stupid idiots that just, okay, yeah, that's what it is. All right, fine. Let me just vote for you.
You are not alone. A lot of people. Are saying exactly the same thing. So don't ever doubt yourself when you come to the conclusion that, you know what, that guy or gal, whoever they may be, regardless of what party they belong to, never answered the question. Don't ever doubt yourself when that's the feeling that you have. Because very often they do not. They will beat around the bush. They will swim oceans, they will climb the highest mountains, but they will not answer the question.
I appreciate your time, guys. I got to let you guys go.
All right.
Sean,
super. Hey, thanks for the call.
I enjoy the series, and I look forward to watching it tomorrow on Hulu.
All right, thank you.
Super.
Thanks,
all righty. You know, and Tracy, that brings up a point, and it's kind of a peeve of mine. So let me rant here for a minute or two, okay?
Rant away. I'm going to have
a
rant.
All right. There we go. So ask yourself how many times you have heard, we all know health care has to change. Or, well, we all know health insurance has to be reformed. Or, it is unfair for undocumented immigrants not to be included. Or, unemployment is dropping, the stimulus is working. How many times have you heard that?
Every time a politician opens their mouth.
That's exactly right. And here's the lesson to be learned from that. You do not ever let a politician frame the question in a way that dictates how the argument has to go. Ever. You don't ever let them do that. Here's how. Here's the response. We all know healthcare has to change. excuse me, nobody has made that argument to me. Nobody has made that argument to me. I don't care whether you are liberal, you are conservative, you are a communist, or whatever you are. You have not ever made the argument to me that health care has to change. Nobody has done that. Health insurance has to be reformed. You know what? I am persuadable. If you give me facts and logic, and you make your case, I will listen to that. But for somebody to simply make the claim, we all know health insurance has to change, has to be reformed. No, I'm sorry, we don't all know that. You haven't made that case. You have made a bold statement, not backed up by anything. When you back it up with something, I will listen to you. And the thing that infuriates me is that that comes from the Republican Party. I get emails every day from the Republican Party. And they say, oh, well, we all know health care has to change. Excuse me? You just bought into the meme and you just let the left dictate how this conversation has to go. The proper response is not, oh, well, we all know it has to change. No, the proper response is, give me your facts and figures, and I will make a judgment. We have heard just yesterday or today that, oh, Obama is going to push for immigration, a comprehensive immigration reform in 2010. It is unfair for undocumented immigrants not to be included. Excuse me? I'm sorry. Those are illegal aliens. They are not supposed to be in the country. They do not do anything other than suck off tax dollars for their health care, for all of the things, for law enforcement, for ICE, for anything else. All they do is drive down wages. All they do is put a burden on the United States of America taxpayer. They are not supposed to be here. There is no other country in this Western Hemisphere that you can go to as an undocumented alien. Mexico will imprison you on the spot. And folks, you really do not want to be in a Mexican prison. Unemployment is dropping. The stimulus is working. Excuse me, we lost 240-some-odd thousand jobs last month, and unemployment is dropping. I'm sorry. No. We went from 9.4 to 9.3 or 9.5 to 9.4.
9.5 you know to 9.4.
Yeah. You know what, folks? You know why that number dropped? Take a look at the basic numbers. They dropped the people that are no longer eligible for uninsurance, for unemployment insurance. So when you do that, you can claim, even though unemployment has risen, oh, unemployment has dropped. How dishonest can that be? Why is it? There is a saying on Twitter that's been going the rounds the last few days. If you want to make a conservative mad, lie to him. If you want to make a liberal mad, tell him the truth. I'm sorry, I'm a conservative. You lie to me, yeah, that makes me angry. There is absolutely no call for it. What, do you believe that I am a child? That I can't handle the truth?
Can't handle the truth!
I'm sorry. I'm an adult. Have been for a lot of years. I can handle the truth. Don't spin it. don't tell me a lie. Don't tell me that unemployment dropped because you didn't want to count the number of people that dropped off unemployment insurance so that it would make your damn numbers look better. I'm angry about that. Am I part of the mob? Yep. Hashtag, I am the mob. You damn right. End of my rant. Can you tell I'm pissed?
It was a pretty good rant.
Yeah.
Gotta work on your yelling, though.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll work on that.
Gotta get some passion.
Yeah, well, geez. I don't want to be un-American here.
Oh, be un-American.
Well, Nancy might not like it.
Embrace your un-Americanness.
Nancy wouldn't like it. Whatever the heck.
How can you tell? Her mouth doesn't move except for when she's talking.
Well, that's true. And you know that she's lying when her mouth moves, so it's okay.
She's a politician.
She lies
when she's sleeping.
Exactly. You know, there are not a lot of honest politicians. There are some. I am not going to tar brush everybody with that.
Oh, I
but,
will.
Well, I'll tell you
Sorry.
What. I have got a good representative, Wally Herger. Wally Herger, and I've known him for 20-plus years. He's been in Congress that amount of time and more.
I'll put your hand down.
He screwed up on the original stimulus bill.
The TARP bill?
He voted for it. Shame on him. I can count on the fingers of one hand, not counting my thumb, of other votes that have disappointed me in that period of time. That guy is solid. So when I see people on Twitter saying vote them all out, I'm saying, you know, folks, we need to be a little bit more discriminatory than that. We need to identify the good ones, and we need to say we're going to keep them there, and we need to get rid of the ones that aren't good and replace them with ones that are potentially good. And only time will tell if they really become good.
Well, here's my issue with your representative has been there for 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
20 plus.
And, see, I'm sitting there like going, you know, he's holding a seat. That's my opinion. But I'm not one to speak because, you know, I oppose term limits. So, you know, on the premise that you should be able to vote for whoever you want. And if you think your representative is doing a good job for you, then you should be able to continue to vote for your representative. So I'm not going to kind of, you know, yes, I think we should vote all the bums out. Okay? And if you think that your representative is a bum, I can't vote your representative out. Only you can vote your representative out.
Yep.
So while I think we should vote all the bums out, that might be still true. Let's vote all the bums out. That might leak a whole lot of people still in, but, okay. You know what? Here, the beginning of your rant, I absolutely understood it because it is a fundamental issue. It is the premise. If you concede the premise, you have lost the argument.
Absolutely. Every time.
I had
a guy that told me one time, and basically he took me to school on negotiations. And he said, I will let you set the price if I can set the terms and conditions, or you can set the terms and conditions and I will set the price. That's absolutely true. And it ties exactly in with what you're saying. If you concede the premise, you're done. Because you're arguing on their turf.
Right. So, the premise is a person walks up to a hospital and they're bleeding. Do they deserve health care?
Yep.
Well, of course they do. Bullshit.
Sure. Yep.
Bullshit. Wrong premise. Who says that they deserve health care? Who says they have a right to health care? Nobody does. Shouldn't. Don't. Can't. Goes back to my baker and his 5 loaves of bread. There is no equitable distribution. My wages, my fruits of my labor are not subject to the equitable distribution of this government. We have conceded the premise to the left that health care needs to be reformed. Why? Well, because there are some people that don't have health care. So, well, don't you want them to have health care? Oh, I'd like everybody to have health care. I'd like everybody to have a Mercedes-Benz. I'd like everybody to have a McDonald's house. I'd like everybody
to have everybody have two loaves of bread.
You know, but so what? That just because I would like doesn't mean that anything like that should have to happen. Well, don't you think health care is a right? No, I don't think health care is a right. Health care as a right means that somebody has to go out and say, you, fix me. Oh, I'm sorry?
Yep.
You, over there, fix me. I mean, I said this to somebody. This is like conservatives are standing on a corner and the liberals see a little old lady getting ready to cross, and they turn to us and point their finger at us and say, hey, you, go help her. And we go, okay, she needs help. What? Why are you telling me to go help her? Whether she needs help or not is irrelevant. Why do you think you can tell me to go do it?
Yep.
Okay.
Actually, you know, I've got a story about that. My brother, a lib, a number of years ago, and we were talking about the homeless problem. And at the time, he was he was in Houston. And he was working for Texaco. He was in the gas marketing portion of the business. And very good at it. And to make his point, he was saying, you know, we need to take care of the homeless. And he recounted an experience where he was walking down the street, and this homeless person was sleeping in a doorway was sleeping out on the public square. And he said, we have to help them. And so I asked him, well, what was that person's name? And he said, well, that's immaterial. And I said, no, it isn't. Do you mean to tell me that you walked by this person who was sleeping in the public square, obviously didn't have any place to go, probably needed food, and you didn't do something to help him? And the point of that is this. If you think a homeless person needs help, then that's fine.
Help them.
God, do it. But you can't require me to help them.
That's right. And don't ask me if, well, don't you think they should? It doesn't make any difference what I think.
I'm not the one who ran across them.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah, it's this. We have conceded too much of the premise. I am
yep.
no longer willing to concede the premise. We have
nope.
conceded the premise because someone says, well, you're a racist. Oh, I don't want to be called racist, so I'll agree with whatever you say, so you just don't call me. Bullshit.
I'm
Bullshit.
A racist in that case.
Fine. Call me racist. You know?
Yep.
Fine. You're greedy. Yeah, you know, hey, I like to eat.
Yep.
Sue me. Oh, you know,
yeah,
you have a right to sue me. Okay, you know, you don't care about the homeless. No, I don't. Sorry. You don't
I might very well care about a homeless person that I happen to stumble across. I might. Maybe
I
not,
don't.
Depending on the circumstances, but
I don't.
It is my choice.
Right.
Not your choice that I have to help them. It is my choice if I want to help them or not. And I will.
A liberal sees somebody in need and thinks that we should all help.
Yep, absolutely.
And conservatives and Republicans and people on the right have gone, oh, well, yeah, I guess that person needs help. Nah, eh,
nope.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Quit doing that.
Don't concede the premise.
If you want to give to charity, go to church.
There you go.
Okay? If you think that other people need to give to charity, you know, stand on a street corner with a cup. Go, please give to charity.
Yep.
Okay? Do not go over to Congress and say, make everybody give me money so I can help these homeless people. Ah, bullshit.
Exactly.
Bullshit.
That's right.
I am not going to pay for anybody else's goddamn health care.
Nope.
You don't have health care? Tough shit.
Your choice.
I don't have health care.
Nope.
I don't have health care.
Yep.
I'm not wandering around going, please give me health care.
Yeah, right.
Please give me a Mercedes.
Yeah, exactly.
Please give me some more time to play golf.
Yeah, I want one of those Cheyennes.
It rained. I don't want it to rain.
Yeah.
Everybody can
agree
the weather needs to be changed. Okay. I'm tired of this crap. You know,
yep.
Frankly, we are, I've finished reading Mark Levin's Liberty and Tyranny. And all I can say is that book pissed me off every 2 pages. Every 2 pages, I just kept thinking, going, you know, I got to stop here because I'm pissed.
I'm not pissed
at Mark Levin.
Check my blood pressure here.
You know, I'm not pissed at anyone in particular. I'm pissed at me because every time he sat there and said, here's this premise, and we agreed to it, I'm going like, oh, boy, was I a moron.
Yep.
Oh, boy, was I a moron.
Yep.
And, you know,
not doing
even
that
in the
anymore.
Last 18 months where I didn't think that I was much of a moron when I was actually taking responsibility, you know, I'm being a moron. You know, I'm getting really tired of this idea that if I don't think the government should help people, that I am careless or greedy or bad or, well, yeah, dark soul. See? Me. I'm going to take care of me, and then I'm going to take care of my family, and then I might reach out and care for one or two other people. But the reality of the situation is, if you think government has got to make me do that, I'm going to go get a weapon.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Pitchfork.
Because I'm getting really tired of the idea that I have to be made to be charitable.
Pitchforks and torches, folks.
Okay. Because charity begins in the heart, not in the legislature.
That's exactly right. Exactly.
Groot,
right.
Butch is on the line. He's got his hand raised.
Cool.
Going, ooh.
Now,
Butch.
And everybody has to know, if Butch gets to talking too much, I'm going to tell him to just hush up.
Okay.
How are you, Butch?
I'm all right, man.
Good.
Are you ready for me to sell you on why healthcare needs reforming?
Oh, sure.
No.
Go ahead.
Okay.
You bet.
Well, in case you guys don't know, this is I'm in the health insurance business, so it is an issue that I obsess about daily. And of course, my line, and y'all have heard this before, I think, is if a public option passes, then Butch becomes a full-time political activist. And I doubt
your
that
business
that
is destroyed, right?
I doubt that that is a part of Obama's calculations, but it should be.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
So, anyway, no, I'm not going to say in the fact that healthcare. I mean, we all know that healthcare needs reforming.
Oh, yeah,
I'm just
right,
joking,
sure.
I'm joking.
Okay.
There's no sense in making that sale. We all know that, right, Bill? Well, I will tell you that it goes back to the charity thing, and it goes back to the free markets and the fact, the whole concept of if something needs to be solved, does government need to solve it? And
okay.
The answer is no. Right. So
government can't solve it.
If we were to agree with the premise that healthcare needs to be reformed, then we would have to agree with the premise that it would have to be solved by some entity other than government, because the reason it needs to be reformed is because government screwed it up in the first place.
Ah, so your idea of reform is let's get rid of most, if not all, the regulation that's currently in place.
Well, all of the federal guidelines need to go, and then states need to call their own shots. Well, and, you know, that's been an argument for healthcare reform, is that, oh, all these states have different mandates, and some of them get away with murder and all that. Well, you know, one of the problems is that some of the companies have inappropriate relationships with state regulators. You know, I work with 3 Blue Crosses, and one of them has an exceedingly, bad, little close relationship with their state regulator, and I just don't think that that's appropriate. So, but the point is that, you know, I had a liberal friend of mine that I used to have lots of extensive intellectual conversations with. And at the almost always at the end of the conversation, especially when it came to healthcare, he would say, "Well, if you think the government's part of the problem, don't you think that they should also be part of the solution?" And you know, and so in the first couple of times, like a lot of us, I would just kind of take that. And then the last time, I looked at him and I said, "Yes, but if they're part of the problem, the way that they are part of the solution is by stopping being the problem."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and government mm-hmm. is the problem. If you look at it from a tax standpoint, here's one problem. Individual health insurance has had a tax disadvantage, right, for
mm-hmm.
decades, okay? So there's one very small problem that government can solve by giving tax breaks for individual health insurance equal to the tax breaks that group, not by taxing. This is what's insane. I mean, John McCain started the whole taxing employee
mm-hmm.
benefits
right.
thing. He
right.
started that nonsense, right?
Mm-hmm.
The healthcare exchange was started by, guess who? A Republican in Massachusetts, okay?
Right.
So you're right. There is no doubt that it is the Republicans' fault that this healthcare bill is where it is, okay? And as a third-party mm-hmm. guy, I can say that with with great confidence.
Okay. I'm jumping in. Stop.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Stop. In 1973, Richard Nixon froze wages and prices.
Yep, he did.
Mm-hmm.
To his everlasting shame.
Yep.
And the only way companies could keep or get new employees were to offer them benefits they could not get that they didn't have to worry about being taxed on.
Mm-hmm. It happened the first time in the 30s.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Now, I, being slightly tied up to the idea of economics, spent
yeah,
a little bit
no.
of time spent
like
a little bit
trouble.
Of time on the idea of why we had such shitty healthcare pricing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why was healthcare going up at 10, 15, 20% a year when general inflation was much lower than that?
Right.
Okay. And the question is very simply Medicare.
Well,
the less Medicare paid, the more it forced prices elsewhere up.
That's true.
And when the prices got too far out of hand, companies started turning towards HMOs and PPOs
mm-hmm.
to enforce pricing upon hospitals and doctors who were already being squeezed by Medicare, who, of course, then squeezed the only people that they had left, the non-insured or self-insured, you know, single payer out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that pricing has gone down. If we want to do anything about improving healthcare, we can talk about tort reform. We can talk about 50-state plans. This isn't going to happen, and I understand that. Okay, but if we want to have the greatest effect on reform, get rid of Medicare.
Well,
get rid of it.
Yeah, I think phasing out Medicare would be a great idea.
Yep.
I do not think that it is fair, in my opinion, to say that to someone that is 65 that they can no longer purchase individual health insurance. And that's what we've decided.
Amen.
We've decided that it is unfair. It is not right or immoral in some shape, form, or fashion for people over 65 to have private health care. And if the ironic thing is, you know, in Canada, it's all Medicare. That's what they call it. They call universal, you know, social health coverage in Canada, Medicare. So,
that was the other thing that I offered was I said, you know, if Medicare is so great, Let's just everybody have Medicare.
Yeah, but there's another, there are other forces at play here, and I would say that you know, Medicare doesn't pay well, right? So,
right.
And the reason it doesn't is because it's rationed out, and as a result of that, a lot of people don't take Medicare anymore. I mean, hospitals have to, but a lot of doctors, like I'm in a county where very few doctors take Medicare or Medicaid.
Really?
Okay. Well, it's in a very affluent county, and they can't pay their bills with Medicare or Medicaid payments. So, but the real force at play is that we have decided as a nation, starting with Medicare, starting with fixing wages, and then going on with Medicare, and then starting with fixing wages again, and then especially with HMOs, we have decided that economic forces do not apply to healthcare. That's the premise that we bought into. It hasn't. The
right.
premise that we're trying to be sold right now is the fact that healthcare is a right. And that's an easy premise to buy, except for the fact, as someone very astutely pointed out a few weeks ago, that if it is a right, then government doesn't have a right to limit it. But, you know, details. But if you buy into the European argument that healthcare is a right, therefore government should provide it, then you still cannot pretend that you have, once you have decided that, that you have suspended the laws of economics, okay? And what was decided a long time ago was that throughout this whole process of screwing up healthcare, it was decided by the industry and our government that the laws of economics should not apply to healthcare. And that was the fundamental premise that was sold, bought, paid for, and now we're really paying for it. So if we did anything, if the government did anything, if laws were passed, they should be laws that destroy the premise that the laws of economics should not apply to healthcare.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are some states where this is happening. Georgia has passed laws that, I mean, tax incentives, basically, heavy tax incentives, to insurers and to policyholders for consumer-driven healthcare plans. In other words, you pay for everything up to a high deductible, then the insurance kicks in. That's what insurance is. Insurance is about managing the expected and not the unexpected.
Right.
So, I mean, not only have we decided the laws of economics don't apply, but we've also decided that insurance should be treated as managed care. Which destroys the economic incentive.
You know, absolutely.
There's no incentive for people to save costs. If you have a low deductible, let's say you have a $500 deductible, then a lot of people's goal is to get to the deductible so the insurance company will kick in. That is not how insurance should be treated. I mean, do you treat your car insurance that way? I need to hit some car today, you know, get $500 worth of expenses so that the insurance will kick in for the rest of the year while I continue wrecking my car. I mean, that's insane. I mean, that's the opposite of economical thinking.
Well,
and the other thing about healthcare is it's a high technology field is being treated by our government as a commodity. I mean, we don't have all the solutions yet. Go ahead.
Let's carry this idea of the car insurance just a little bit farther, because it's an area that needs to be reinforced over and over again. Okay, nobody buys car insurance so that the oil gets changed by the insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a warranty, right?
Yep.
We're treating health insurance like a warranty instead of an insurance policy, and that is a travesty.
And like I told my parents, I'm really, really pissed at them that when I was born, they didn't get the extended warranty.
Yeah.
But that's true. Think about it. The warranties are for – warranties have a lifespan. It's interesting you mentioned Medicare. Warranties have a lifespan. Once you hit 50,000 miles, your warranty expires.
Yep.
What we've done is we've said the private industry should handle a warranty up to 65. And then from 50,000 miles until death, the government is picking up the warranty.
Oh, yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's fiscal insanity. It's absolute fiscal insanity.
Yep.
I've
got two stories about that. And just full disclosure, I'm on Medicare.
Right. Right.
Okay. I also have Plan F,
right.
which is a supplemental insurance to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you that that's a pretty good buy for me because I am not out of pocket any dollars.
That's a good plan.
At least haven't been so far. Other
mm-hmm.
other than my cataract surgery where I got my astigmatism corrected, and that was $400 an eye, and that's like, yeah, okay, that's a good investment.
Right.
So, I am currently in negotiation with my dentist.
Mm-hmm.
When I was employed, I had Delta dental insurance.
Right.
That was twice a year, no cost to me, an annual or a cleaning and x-rays and that kind of stuff whenever they were indicated. I don't have that now. Medicare doesn't cover it. Plan F, if it is not a Medicare-covered expense, won't cover it. And so I go from a $65 indicated charge for dental services, cleaning, x-rays, that kind of thing. I go from no cost to me to $90.
Right.
Every time we go in, there are two of us. So I'm currently in negotiations with my dentist to say, look, I will pay you cash or check, I'm whichever, I don't care.
Yeah, but cash, yeah.
Whatever the Delta charge, whatever you would be paid by Delta
mm-hmm.
for cleaning.
Right.
Okay? Your advantage is you don't have to submit any paperwork. I'm going to pay you on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
My advantage is I'm not paying $90. I'm paying you $65 or whatever the current Delta charge, whatever the current Delta reimbursement is.
Right.
But the problem, the whole problem with that is it was the government that mandated that system.
Right.
And that makes me angry.
Yeah.
Who in the heck are they to say, oh, okay, let me see. Yeah, you can have that until you hit 65. And then once you hit 65, no, you're going to have to pay not only for yourself, but for all of those other people that we are not reimbursing properly for. The second part of this whole thing is I am incensed, absolutely incensed, that people will say, well, fine, if you don't like that, why don't you get off Medicare? And my response to that is I will not only get off Medicare, I will get off Social Security. I want every dime that I and my employer paid into that with interest from the time that we paid it. And I will absolutely voluntarily relinquish that. And folks, I am way, monetarily, I am way better off doing that. Big time.
Yeah, I think people do forget, you know, and this there is an obvious tie there. You know, unfunded mandates are about Social Security and Medicare, and they're inexorably intertwined. I mean, you can't get Medicare unless you file for Social Security. I mean, that there's, I mean, they're connected.
Right. Yep.
But if we were to all say that, you know, instead of giving the 15% of our income to the federal government for our entire productive lives, we were to take all that money and invest it, we would be able to pay for our own health care.
Absolutely.
And we wouldn't, though, in the current setup. And the reason is because, and that's why it has to be phased out, is because it has gotten so gosh darn expensive that no one, unless they're, you know, a millionaire, could afford health care at this point. But the reason that is because the costs have been inflated because of government intervention. If we move to a consumer-driven system on the under 65, then it will bring costs down to the point where we can start allowing people to take control of their own lives above 65. Right now, it would be I mean, it would be panic in the streets because it's just so damn expensive.
Oh, yeah.
But you have, again, laws of economics. In which situation do you have the most efficiency, single payer or millions of payers?
Yeah.
The answer is millions of payers.
Yep, absolutely.
And it's not, there's no mystery there. Anybody that thinks that a single payer is a better system does not understand how economics works, and they ignore historical fact. One quick one, and I know we're running short on time, one quick one is, did anyone know that Tony Blair at some point decided that he wanted to increase the availability of MRIs in his country? And this was, I don't know, sometime in the 90s. Okay, because there's, people say about socialized medicine countries that there's a shortage of MRIs. It's true in Canada, it's true in the UK, it's true in other places.
Right.
He was going to solve that problem, so he called this guy in South Africa, and he said, look, you come to the UK and set up, you know, you're it, 100% market share.
Whoa.
Right? And this guy was a stud. He said, look, this guy out of South Carolina, South Africa, he was the guy. I mean, this guy really had re-engineered and had come up with some really innovative, he was an innovator, he was an entrepreneur, he was very good at what he did. You know what he told Tony Blair?
Screw yourself.
Not a chance in hell, and here's
that's
why.
Right.
Because
yeah.
the political winds change, and MRIs are no longer a priority for the next administration, or they decide they want to bring somebody else in from Australia,
right.
then guess what? I'm screwed, and I put all
that's
that money in. So what has happened is, being the single payer, one big customer, it stifles innovation. The real guy who could solve the problem was left out of the system because he has to depend on one customer, and he's not dumb enough to do that. So the real smart people are left out. The only people who are willing to participate in a system like that are stupid bureaucrats who knows whose jobs can be protected politically. Not entrepreneurs, not innovators, not producers, not us. You know, who work for a living. Yeah, I mean, it's not. And what you've done is you've, having a single-payer system, kept an innovative MRI system out of the UK. And that's just one example, but there's tons of them like that.
Well,
so I'll leave it to you guys to wrap it up. I really enjoyed it.
Cool. Thank you, Butch.
I thought it was going to be more contentious. I was ready to fight that whole,
yeah, right.
Yeah, but we should all be charitable. You know.
You can disavow us anytime you want, Butch.
No, I'll wait till next week.
Okay.
All right. Y'all take care.
All right. Night. Good discussion. Yeah.
What fun is it when we all agree that government sucks, you know, and that people should be allowed to, you know, do their own thing?
You know, we need a lib troll to call in.
No, we don't.
Sure we do. God, it would be so much fun.
This is not an equal opportunity system.
Hey, come on. I mean, how many chances do you get?
There's no equitable distribution on my radio show.
How many chances do you get to bash a lib?
Every day.
Oh, yeah.
I'm married to one. Every day.
All right. Oh, geez.
Every day.
Well, I don't get that many chances.
My parents are union Democrats.
Yeah?
Victoria is, you know, a far left winger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm in Madison. Are you kidding? You know,
well, yeah.
I walk out of the house.
You're in a target-rich environment. I live in a pretty conservative county. I mean, what can I tell you?
Well, you're out in the middle of nowhere. I know this is important for you, but, you know.
Yeah, okay.
You get out once a month.
Yeah. Maybe we could have a designated week that we devote for lib troll call-ins.
No equitable distribution of the radio show.
There you go.
Take your own blog talk radio. Go away.
Oh, God.
22 seconds. Say goodnight to your friends.
Hey. All of my CT buddies and Arkansas Traveler and Just Me Pammy, thanks for listening in, guys. I certainly appreciate it.
All right, Bill, have a good week.
You
we'll
too,
talk next
Trace.
Week. Maybe I'll go play golf.
Hey, that'd be a great thing.
Bye.
Good night, all.
Done.
Just right. All right.
He talks too much.
Yeah, he does, but that's okay. He's got non-parenthetical sentences. You know, and it's kind of like, I want to jump in here, but, jeez.
Butch, please don't write. Run on sentences 4 pages long.
There you go.
That's all right. You know, the point that we wanted to make tonight, and I think we're going to continue to harp on this, is this idea of this, you know, we're not going to accept the premise.
Exactly.
So we did not spend a whole lot of time talking about things that were going on this past week.
No, we didn't.
So let's, you know, there was, we started off with talking a little bit about the, you know, the town halls, things we're going to talk about. We didn't talk about unemployment and
mm-mm.
such. You know, let's work at, I gave you a task. Did you do it?
You gave me a test?
A task.
I'm sorry.
Remember we talked about I wanted you to work on something over the weekend?
Oh, well, yeah, and I started in on that. 5 to 10 minutes, why we have conceded verbiage and positions.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, let us take this idea of premises and see if we can find places where we're conceding the premise. The reality of the town halls are at this particular point in time is that people are absolutely no longer conceding the premise.
Yes,
or at least
absolutely.
At least arguing that if we're conceding the premise, we're not conceding the solution.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
if healthcare needs to be reformed, fine, but government is not the place to be reforming it.
Absolutely. I don't have a problem with that.
I think, you know, I started saying it, you repeated it, but I'd like, you know, we should continue to harp on it, you know, whenever we're talking to other people, either on tweets or otherwise, or blog posts, you know, this is unconstitutional. It's unconstitutional. It's unconstitutional.
Yep.
This is a place where government does not have the constitutional right to be stepping its paws into.
I agree. We're on the same page on that one. That is not a problem. The problem that we run into with all of those arguments is that we've already conceded that argument, or at least most of the rest of the country has conceded that argument. And that's the argument that I am no longer willing to concede, that, oh, it's got to be reformed. Well, actually, there's two answers to that. One, it is not the federal government's responsibility to reform that. Two, if you don't like that, then what you need to do is move to a state that comports with your idea of what that happens. Go to Massachusetts. Go to Hawaii. Oops, I'm sorry. They have shut down their programs.
Why does health care have to be reformed?
Exactly. And nobody has made that argument to me yet. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at an email from my brother saying, considering that you have an excellent government health care option for yourself, Medicare, I really don't understand why you and your allies on the right, funded heavily by the health insurance industry, would deny me the same opportunity to select the public option health care choice. Excuse me, Rusty, why don't you move to Massachusetts? If that's what you want. I enjoy the benefits, you enjoy the benefits of a public health care plan. It is not killing you. No, but it could be a whole hell of a lot less expensive. In fact, it is extending and improving your life, for which we are all grateful. I cannot get private insurance due to pre-existing conditions, and that could kill me. Why should I not have such a plan available? It seems a bit selfish and an unkind way to treat family. Is your ideology worth more than my life? Dear God, I hope not. And it's like, excuse me, brother.
I would say one thing.
Hmm.
My ideology is not, but my principles are.
I'm sorry, what?
My ideology is not, but my principles are.
Okay. I'm not sure I'm understanding the difference you're making there.
Okay. Your ideology suggests that people should be self-reliant, self-responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So while you believe that, you know, people should be self-responsible and self-reliant, you personally, okay, might be willing to take care of him.
Mm-hmm.
But my principles do not extend to allowing him to force government, to take government and force you to provide for him.
Yeah, got it.
You know.
Yep.
And, you know, and I certainly understand, and I understand the problems in there, but, you know, and of course, you know, he's saying, well, you've got yours, why can't I have mine?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, and,
yep,
you know,
I know.
That's one of those nice situations where, you know, maybe, let me see if this equates. Somebody said that I couldn't make a law out banning marijuana because I had never tried it.
Okay.
And I said, does that mean that I can't make a law banning murder because I haven't killed anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does that mean that you can't have an opinion about national defense even though you've never served in the military?
Mm-hmm.
Just because you have the only available health insurance available to you as a senior citizen does not mean that that's the only way it should be done.
Exactly.
You know, and those are, you know, we're beginning to come up with responses to these, you know, these throwaway statements. You know, he's not asking you, he's not attempting to get you engaged in a dialogue. He's saying, shut up, you've got yours, I want mine.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right, so, healthcare needs to be reformed because there are many without insurance. So, you are saying that because someone doesn't have health insurance, I must be forced to provide them with it. All right, let's go. You and I are on the same page. We're going in the same direction.
Yep.
We're going to continue to push this issue. Butch has said as much as, you know, he doesn't think that he's ever going to have a problem disagreeing with us. I don't think he's going to disagree with us. If he decides at some point that, you know, we've pushed the line too far, then fine. You know, I've told him our issue with him is not that we think he will disagree with us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Our point is that if he believes at some point he needs to disavow us, we're okay with that. We're not going to give him shit because he's done it.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, and, you know, that's my only point to him. is that, you know, if he decides that as party chair he needs to disavow, that's fine. We're cool with that. You know, we don't take it personally. So, you know, we're just going to go, let's start applying these to, let's start pissing people off by applying the this no longer taking the premise to things that are going on.
Exactly. You betcha.
All right.
I'm there. You betcha.
All right. Have a week. We'll talk.
Okay, kiddo.
See you
next
week.
Right. Bye. Bye.